This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, our topic is cheesy puffs. I'm still feeling very confused about this word.
Cheese puffs? Snacks?
First, I was... So I typed cheesy puffs into Google. And of course, Google was like, do you mean cheese puffs?
Oh.
And then I scrolled down and started looking at what it was offering me for cheese puffs. And it was all recipes for... For Gougère. Like baked cheesy cheese puffs.
But this episode is like, it's about American Gougère, which is Cheetos.
Right. Exactly.
So, like, things that are like Cheetos, I guess. So I think on South Park they call them cheesy poofs, but I don't know if that's a thing just on South Park.
Yes, and I didn't include it in my research as I'm presenting it to you today, but apparently, yeah, whatever it was that they called it in South Park, cheesy poofs,
I think.
It was briefly actually manufactured as a joke.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe like a thing they would do at 7-Eleven.
Probably.
I was so disappointed the other day because I went to 7-Eleven and got a Slurpee, which was not disappointing at all because I didn't get that terrible birthday cake one. And then by the counter where they have the new impulse buy items, they had Taco Bell fire sauce flavored tortilla chips.
Oh,
and
that sounds
great.
I love
Taco Bell fire sauce, but the chips were terrible.
What was terrible about them?
Like, they were like weirdly food colored, first of all. Like the chips were colored bright red.
Well, but and sometimes that signals a good thing coming, like
true.
Takis. Takis
You're
are often
right.
bright red.
Yes. However,
Go
in
on,
this
Matthew.
Case, no, just the flavor just didn't hit. It didn't have like, I think what I like about the fire sauce is it's got sort of like a sweet juiciness along with the heat, and it's hard to get a juiciness into a chip.
Although I am always surprised when I have a chip, like either a Cool Ranch chip or some sort of like sour cream and onion thing. I'm amazed by sort of how eerily like alive they can make dairy flavors.
Here's what it is. You know what it was about these chips? It was they put too much of the flavor into the chip and not enough powder.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I get
it. So like for me, like a flavored chip, it's got to have like a layer of powder, right?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree. Okay. I'm glad we sorted that out.
All right. So we'll do cheesy poofs next time. This time it's all about this one bag of chips that I didn't like.
Anyway, so after my confusion over cheesy puffs versus cheese puffs, then I went on to Wikipedia to just try to learn, because definitely some companies also call them cheesy puffs. Annie's, the company that makes like Annie's mac and cheese and lots of other things.
They call it cheesy puffs?
They call them cheesy puffs.
Okay. Maybe that's where I heard it.
Anyway, according to Wikipedia, these are called cheese puffs, cheese curls, cheese balls, cheesy puffs, corn curls, and corn cheese.
Okay, corn cheese, I'm not buying at all, although that is what they're made of. Cheese curls, I feel like I have heard before.
Yes. I think Utz, the company Utz, which is more common on the East Coast than the West Coast of the U.S., their product that kind of looks like crunchy Cheetos, they call it, I think, cheese curls.
Okay, that makes sense. Cheese balls, those are the things you used to murder when you were a child, right?
Oh, Yes, you remember.
Yes,
the neighbors who would bring over a cheese ball wrapped in cellophane. It was like rolled in chopped walnuts.
Sure.
It was probably cream cheese and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yep.
Rolled in chopped walnuts and then packaged in cellophane. And
you would go up on a ladder?
Nobody in my family liked it. And so my mom is probably really upset that I'm talking about this again.
Yeah.
My mom would let me take it out into the driveway and sort of lift it high above my head and throw it down on the pavement with like a real splat. And the cellophane would contain it. But it was so cool, like how it would totally flatten onto the pavement.
First, okay, how old were you at the time?
Oh, I was in high school.
Okay. Can you imagine like what a YouTube sensation you would have been if they'd had YouTube then? Like
I wouldn't have
the
been
the cheese
YouTube
ball killer.
Sensation.
Yeah, you would have.
Probably not.
I think so.
Anyway.
I mean, it would have been like the early days when there wasn't much on YouTube other than like that Saturday Night Live cupcake video and C-SPAN.
Yeah. Okay, hey, let's talk about what these things are.
Oh, yes.
Because
okay.
I think that prior to doing, so this was my episode to research, and I think I had just never thought before about what these were made of.
I knew they were made of puffed corn, but I don't really know what that is.
They seem so far from the source.
Yes.
That it's difficult to trace their steps.
But you did.
I did it. I traced the steps.
As usual, you made one of those crazy like detective crazy walls with
lots
string
of and pieces of string, yeah, connecting photos
and a bunch of Cheez-Its nailed to the wall.
Okay,
Cheez-Its, no Cheetos.
So Matthew.
Although Cheez-Its would be easy to nail to the wall because they have a hole in the middle.
Okay, so put simply, these are a puffed corn snack coated with a mixture of cheese or cheese-flavored powders. They're manufactured by extruding heated corn dough through a die that forms a particular shape.
Okay.
Okay? They may be ball-shaped, curly, straight, or irregularly shaped, just like humans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so sweet.
I found on Wired.com a whole article called Making Cheetos, It Ain't Easy Being Cheesy, by Brendan Kerner.
I think I'd say Kerner.
Kerner, published like 9 years ago now, but I think it's probably still accurate. Would you like me to read through it?
Yes, please.
It takes approximately 19 minutes
for you to read this
to make Cheetos.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's got it broken down in terms of minutes elapsed. Okay.
Okay.
So 0 minutes to 1 minute.
Okay.
Gritty cornmeal stored in a silo is
gritty cornmeal stored in a silo
is pumped about 100 yards through a pneumatic tube. I love pneumatic tubes.
I feel like there's like a particular rapper that I want to hear say gritty cornmeal stored in a silo. There's something very rhythmic about that
great
sentence.
It's a good phrase.
Yeah.
Okay. Gritty cornmeal stored in a silo is pumped about 100 yards through a pneumatic tube into a Cheetos manufacturing plant.
Wait, do you say 100 yards?
Well, yeah. So this sentence is actually structured a little bit strangely.
Okay.
This is English hour
okay
with Molly.
We've already gone from 19 minutes now to an hour.
No. But so basically, picture you've got this silo outside of a manufacturing plant.
Oh, okay.
And there's probably
so, like,
a pneumatic tube.
So you can look out
tube,
the window of the plant and see the silo standing off on the horizon.
And a pneumatic tube connecting the two of them. I'm assuming this tube is underground.
I was just going to ask that.
I'm just guessing.
Okay.
But anyway, Frito-Lay apparently has 14 fried Cheeto plants like this in 11 states.
But which states they are is a national secret.
Okay. Anyway, the cornmeal then enters a giant hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Where it awaits its rapid transformation into one of America's most beloved snacks. Can you imagine how hard it is to wait in that hopper?
I've been waiting for over 40 years to be transformed into one of America's most beloved snacks.
Okay, so this is minutes. That was 0 to 1. Okay, now we've got Now we've got 1 to 110.
1 to 110?
Gobs of cornmeal are fed into an extruder, which rubs the meal between two metal plates.
Mm.
The friction melts the starch in the corn and causes the moisture to heat up. When it passes its boiling point, the meal pops, creating the Cheetos shape.
This is the sexiest thing you've ever said.
The craggy bits are then spit
wait, never mind.
spit out of the extruder, flying 3 feet at high velocity before hitting a safety cage and dropping onto a conveyor belt. Sounds so dangerous.
It sounds amazing. What do you think a high velocity
is? I'm still trying to figure this out. I then found, like, hold on just a second. I found...
Oh, no.
So, can I just go back? Because
sure.
I didn't understand that paragraph when I first read it.
Okay.
I think Wikipedia helped me.
Okay.
made from a paste of cornmeal and water that's heated under pressure and extruded through a die. So like this Making Cheetos article left out the water.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So there's this paste of cornmeal and water. It's heated under pressure and extruded through a die. The texture is a result of contact with hot air, which causes steam in the mixture to expand.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So
here we go. Can we go back to this high velocity thing for a second, though? Because yeah. I wonder if the velocity is so high that they exceed the speed of sound and you get mini sonic booms.
All right, Matthew. Here we go. All right, now, minutes 140 to 240. He did not say what happened between 110 and 140.
Oh, my God, this is like the Watergate
tapes. It'd fall into like a black hole. Okay, at minute 140, the Cheetos move through a piping hot pan of vegetable oil, mm-hmm. much like an amusement park log flume.
Okay, only much
hotter.
Much more deadly.
The oil not only imparts a fatty flavor, but also fries the snack's moisture content down below 2%, key to crunchiness.
Sure.
Once suitably cooked, the pieces go back on the conveyor belt. Okay, again, they enter into a black hole between minutes 240 and 8.
Maybe it's just a really long, slow conveyor belt.
It must be. The puffs.
They go on a 100-yard conveyor belt back to the silo just because they missed home.
The puffs hit a tumble drum.
Tumble drum.
This reminds me of there's a Netflix children's show called Tumble Leaf. Rum, tum, tumble leaf. Tumble drum. Okay. The puffs hit a tumble drum where strategically located nozzles.
Captain, we've hit a tumble drum. I'm not sure if I'm like a space captain or a sea captain, but in any case, it can't be good.
Where strategically located nozzles.
And when I say it can't be good, I mean it can't be good to have me as the captain because I don't know anything about captaining.
And tumble drums. Strategically located nozzles.
I don't see why this is taking so long.
Spray a mixture of oil and powdered cheese onto the Cheetos from all sides.
Wait, they just got fried and now they're getting sprayed with oil?
Oil and powdered cheese.
Okay.
Now, I would have thought it would just be powdered cheese, but I guess the oil helps it stick.
Yeah, that was my guess, too.
Okay. The cheese, which Frito-Lay buys pre-spiced in 50-pound sacks, the company won't say from whom, looks like the stuff used in boxed macaroni and cheese.
Admit it. It's you.
It's me.
You're the supplier.
All right. Now, from minutes 9 to 19, the pieces are dropped onto a last conveyor belt where any remaining moisture steams off as they cool to room temperature. The finished Cheetos are then moved toward the packaging area.
Okay. I have a serious question.
I'm not done.
Please continue.
Quality control.
Okay.
And here's a picture of some guys wearing hairnets and hairnets on their beards.
Oh, yes.
Tasting Cheetos. I'm so grateful for these guys because Cheetos are reliably delicious.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bad Cheeto.
Every half hour, an in-house lab analyzes the chemical composition of samples pulled from the cooking line to verify that the Cheetos have the right density and nutritional content.
What do you think the density of a Cheeto is? It's pretty low.
Then, every 4 hours, a 4-person panel convenes to inspect and taste the snacks, comparing them to perfect reference Cheetos sent from Frito-Lay headquarters.
A panel convenes. I really like the use of the word convene. It sounds very official.
This is like pretty cool, right?
Is it a blue ribbon panel, do you think?
Do you think that all chip companies
have
in-house tasting panels?
Yeah, I think I think they have.
This never occurred to me, and I have like a lot more. I think I'm going to feel more grateful now eating these Cheetos.
I think I'm going to feel like I want a new job.
Right? I mean, look at these guys. Not only do they each get two hairnets. I mean, we get zero hairnets at our job.
They look sort of like they're wearing goat costumes.
Yes.
So here's my question. So this reminded me of the book Candy Freak by Steve Almond, mm-hmm. where he goes to some candy factories and tastes candies directly off the line.
This is the same Steve Almond who's now on the show Dear Sugars.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. There we go. Do you think that if you like can go into the factory and grab some Cheetos like off the final conveyor belt before they're fully cooled, that might be the ultimate cheesy puff experience? Or is it like...
I don't think they're going to be any better, like, fresh off the line.
But, like, not even cooled to room temperature yet. I guess the crunch
might not be there.
The crunch might not be there yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm still going to break in and try it and find out where they get their cheese powder from.
Can we talk about how these were invented? Because there are a lot of great names here.
Were they invented in a silo accident?
No. Thank goodness. All right. Cheese puffs were invented independently by two companies in the U.S. during the 30s. All right. Here's the first origin story.
Wow. Lightning does strike twice.
According to one account, a man named Edward Wilson noticed strings of puffed corn oozing from the flaking machines at Flakeall Corporation of Detroit, of Beloit, Wisconsin.
Flakeall Corporation.
Flakeall Corporation is or was a producer of flaked, partially cooked animal feed. And hold on, let's just look at this again. He noticed strings of puffed corn oozing from flaking machines.
And just went over and nipped them off?
He must have been like, ooh, this looks like a great snack for humans. Anyway, but Matthew, didn't we recently do another episode about a food that was connected to animal feed?
So, wait, first of all, I think so, but I don't remember for sure.
I think I thought about it for a long time when I was doing this work last night, and I think that it was the foil packets that Pop-Tarts are sold in.
Okay. I don't remember this.
I think it had something to do with selling dog food in them.
That makes sense.
Anyway, go on.
So, if you're an inventor, mm-hmm. as you and I are, you have to fail 50 times for every successful invention, maybe 100 times. Do you think that Edward Wilson went around biting things, saying, "Oh, that looks like it could be a snack," and just nibbling things off of other things, and it was a catastrophe every time except when he discovered Cheetos?
That seems pretty likely to me, because
pipe cleaners, that looks like a snack.
Yeah, I think that you'd have to have a really open mind.
And mouth.
And a real gameness to see, quote, strings of puffed corn oozing mm-hmm. and think there's a snack waiting to be made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Anyway, he experimented. This is Edward Wilson. And developed it into a snack.
Is this famed naturalist Edward O. Wilson?
No, but I thought of that, too. Okay. Clarence J. Schwebke.
Good name.
Whoever that is. Wikipedia is really bad at explaining these things. They just throw in names.
But you should run him down and then add it to Wikipedia.
Anyway, this guy, Schwebke, applied for an improved extruder patent. And the product that he made, named Corn Curls, was commercialized in 1946 by the Adams Corporation, which was formed by the founders of Flakeall.
Is that the same Adams that makes natural peanut butter?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
Anyway.
Is it the same Adams Corporation that makes Samuel Adams Boston Lager?
Another version of cheese puffs were created by the Elmer Candy Company of New Orleans in 1936. The sales manager, Morel M. Elmer Sr.
That is amazing.
Isn't that a great name?
Morel Elmer.
I've never heard someone whose first name was Morel, and I wonder, like the mushroom. It's spelled like the mushroom.
Yeah. Could it be Morel or?
Maybe.
No, I like Morel better.
I don't know. Either way, I love it.
Wasn't that Superman's dad's name?
Morel? Morel?
I think it was Jor-El, or maybe that was Superman's original name. I can't remember.
I thought that was Clark Kent.
No, that's Superman's alter ego's name.
Oh, okay, great. Anyway, Morel M. Elmer Sr. held a contest to name the new product, and the name that was chosen was Chewies.
Don't like it.
They're still sold regionally in New Orleans and South Central U.S. areas.
All right, so it's like Pee-wees, only Chewies?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I say that, but what are Pee-wees?
Okay, wait, hold on. Let's go through some brands of these things, because there's some great names. So, obviously, Cheetos, Cheese mm-hmm. Doodles, Pirate's Booty.
Which we have here.
Chewies. Cheesies, which are sold in Canada.
Okay.
Twisties, that's Australia. What's It's, that's the UK. Curl.
Oh, I'm very familiar with those.
In Japan? Yeah,
it's
Curl.
Karu.
Oh, okay. Kurkure, do you remember this when we did our Indian
snacks? I hesitate to remember this because someone might go back and listen to
that
episode, which is the worst episode we've ever done.
Is that the one we taped live at Microsoft?
Yeah, I mean, it's still online. You know, we didn't.
Horrible.
We could take it down, but
we were basically, we'd been put in their cafeteria, and we had approximately three people watching us, mm-hmm. and everyone else was just walking through the room, and Matthew and I were
eating. And those three people were very confused.
And it was, oh, it was a terrible episode.
But
I wanted to crawl out of my skin and go home.
But that was when we first had kurkure, which are Indian spicy cheese puffs, and they are delicious.
So good. Different flavors, like tomato masala.
Yes.
And
there's like a green chili one. They're fantastic.
Planters cheese balls.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then they
come in a can, or at least used to.
Yes. And then Utz makes cheese balls and cheese curls. But Cheetos are the top selling brand in the U.S. Like, most competitors are like little regional brands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a demeaning way of referring to them. They're upstarts. Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by Panama City Beach, Florida.
Matthew, let's plan your dream beach vacation.
Okay, well, teenager of the show, Iris, just asked, what is an eco-adventure?
Well, Panama City Beach, Florida has them. Here's the deal. You can get up close to dolphins in their natural habitat on a boat tour.
Okay.
You can give paddleboarding a try. You can kayak at sunset, snorkel in turquoise waters, bike along the beach, take an airboat tour, or explore the secluded beauty of two state parks.
Yeah, I mean, I've snorkeled in like navy blue waters, aquamarine waters.
Not turquoise waters.
It just didn't cut it.
Matthew, have you found your thrills on a jet ski?
Not yet, but I'm going to Panama City Beach, Florida, and that's where I'm going to find those thrills.
And, you know, wife of the show, Lori, is going to love it when you take her on this romantic getaway. You guys
I was thinking of going myself.
You guys can relax and reconnect while dining on the beach. Ooh, there's enough live music in Panama City Beach, Florida to dance the night away.
All right, so I'm going to make it mine, and you too can make it yours. Make it Panama City Beach, your real fun beach.
Plan your escape now at visitpanamacitybeach.com.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins.
So, Matthew, I want to see if it's possible for us to actually tape this ad while eating a Thomas's English Muffin.
All right.
Because I'm afraid that I'm going to, like, salivate so much.
I mean, it's not just the saliva. It's the crunching produced by those nooks and crannies. Okay.
It's like chewy, yeasty flavor.
So, my question for you is, what would your ideal morning look like if anything was possible?
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would have a really strong hot cup of black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And as everyone knows, there is nothing better with black coffee than something like toasted and crunchy, I think.
Would you drink your coffee out of something fancy like a bone china mug?
Absolutely not.
A Fabergé egg?
A Fabergé egg.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I always had you pegged as a Fabergé egg kind of person.
Yeah, and I would have an English muffin alongside it because, well, an English muffin, you can really dress it up or dress it down. You can put it next to your Fabergé egg. You can.
Well, the best way to start any day is with a Thomas's English muffin topped with, I'm going to say butter in this case.
Mm-hmm. Salted butter. Salted butter.
Mm-hmm. And we'll post a picture of a Thomas's English muffin in the show notes. Thomas's, wake up to what's possible.
Can we talk a little bit about Cheetos flavors?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, here we go. Cheetos are sold in more than 36 countries, and flavor and composition are often varied to match regional and cultural preferences. Frito-Lay conducted extensive testing before settling on flavors for the Chinese market, with ranch dressing, North Sea crab, smoked octopus, and caramel being passed up for two flavors.
Wait, those are the flavors they didn't use?
Yeah, those are the flavors they didn't use. And instead, they've got these flavors: savory American cream and zesty Japanese steak.
Savory American cream is so awful.
Right? What do you think it is? Is it like a boursin? Like a,
yeah, it's like cream, a boursin.
Like, no, but like a cream cheese and herbs situation.
I think it's like a Laura Chanel. No, what's the name of the goat cheese?
Yeah, that's it.
It's made with a Laura Chanel.
No, but
goat
I'm
cheese.
Serious, Matthew. Would it be like a ranch dressing type?
They passed up ranch dressing.
Oh, so how savory American cream is what I call ranch dressing.
It's what I call something else.
Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would try it. Zesty Japanese steak sounds good.
So strawberry Cheetos are a variation of the original crunchy Cheetos that are dipped in flavored ice cream. I mean, flavored icing. And they're sold in Japan.
I've not seen those, but it sounds good.
Also in Japan, they've got Mountain Dew flavored Cheetos.
I remember hearing about this. I think it was a limited time thing, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, in Pakistan, there is a Cheetos flavor called Ocean Safari.
That sounds good.
I want to know what this is. It's
probably like a seafood flavor.
I wonder if
maybe?
It's like, I don't know. Is there like a, what would be like the Pakistani equivalent of like anchovies or something? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
anchovies?
I think like that, those like little oily fish are found pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Pretty much everywhere that there's an ocean.
Yeah. And anywhere there's an ocean that you can take a safari in and see a sea giraffe.
Matthew, I learned that people get pretty excited when, because you know how Cheetos, like, they come out this unpredictable shape, right?
Yes.
Well, people get very excited when they come out shaped like Jesus or like a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like, and then they end up on eBay,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Chibay.
Can we eat some Cheetos here?
Yes, of course.
Do you think that any of our Cheetos are going to look like, well, what celebrity would you like to find in a pack of Cheetos?
I would like to find, well, obviously, Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, yes.
But I don't know what he would look like in Cheeto form.
Matt Saracen?
Yeah, I think actually like Matt Saracen's more like tall and lanky.
Hold on. Why do we not know the name of the actor who played Matt Saracen? This is unfair.
It is unfair.
Taylor Kitsch's name and
Taylor Kitsch is a more memorable name, I think. But okay, I'm going to look it up. You eat some Cheetos. So you're eating the Cheeto Puffs.
Oh, these are so good.
They're so good. Oh. I like how they're pretty large. Like they're two bites, maybe.
When I was a kid, this will surprise no one, my mother totally like derided these chips. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
She called them styrofoam peanuts and she wouldn't buy them for me. And I was I was not generally a mean kid. I was like the kid who got like picked on.
Well, I mean, you were mean to cheese balls.
But there was a girl in my fourth grade class, and a couple times I stole her Cheetos out of her lunch when she like got up to go get her carton of milk. I still feel bad about it. I still remember her name, and I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, don't.
I still feel really bad about it.
She's been wondering in the intervening 30-some years.
I was really mean.
Who stole her Cheetos.
Why did I do that?
I mean, she's probably figured it out now. Just from listening to the show, and she is coming for you. If you get an envelope that says Esquire on it anywhere, do not open it. You will have been served.
I owe her Cheetos plus Cheetos interest.
Yes. I used to steal crayons when I was in like first grade.
From other kids?
No, like from the communal crayon supply. So I was hurting everybody.
Oh, great. Mm. Jeez, Matthew, what kind of socialist are you? Stealing from the communal crayon bin.
Just the metallic ones.
Wait, the metallic one? Oh.
Yeah, like in the Crayola 64 that you got your gold, silver, and bronze. I assume still. Hmm. I know they change up the colors.
I remember that. Wow. Did you steal
They weren't great for coloring, but they looked really cool as crayons.
Were you ever... Did you get picked on, or were you the one who picked on...
I was always pretty much the coolest, most dangerous kid at any school I went to. I had like a leather jacket and hair that stuck up, and I would smoke cigarettes in first grade.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just like the beat downs that I used to deliver were legendary. I had a switchblade, two switchblades, one in each hand.
Yeah.
I was the kid who got picked on.
Yeah, great. Obviously.
I spent a lot of time in the computer lab as soon as I went to a school with a computer lab.
Because you could be free there with your people.
Yeah, and like do computer stuff.
Yeah, and the computers couldn't pick on you.
No, but they. I mean, sometimes there would be bugs.
Oh, that's true. For a second, I'm so computer semi-illiterate that for a second I imagined like spiders.
Sometimes spiders would get loose in the computer lab. A spider nest hatched.
Hmm. You know, I don't know that I've had Flamin' Hot Cheetos before.
Really.
I think maybe I have, maybe on a road trip with you.
I think maybe we had some on the 420 episode.
But, I mean, I like them, but for me, they can't compare to, like, regular crunchy Cheetos. So I think, well, gosh, I don't know, Matthew, these are pretty great.
They're really addictive. They're kind of like, you eat a couple, you're like, oh, those are really strong. Like, I'm going to stop here, and then, like, oh, I need another Flamin' Hot Cheeto. Mm-hmm. And kids love them.
Your taste buds slowly die.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need more and more because, like, you have to satisfy the hole in your soul.
You got to stuff them in your Cheeto hole. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Matt Saracen was played by Zach Gilford.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to work really hard to remember this because, oh, he's so cute.
Looking good, right?
Oh, my God. He's, oh, I, oh.
We'll post a photo of Zach Gilford.
I want both of them.
Zach Gilford and
can you send me that photo?
I'm going to send this right now. Let's see.
Where is Matt Gilford?
Is there an address I can send it that just goes directly, just delivered directly to your spank bank?
Matthew, gross.
Oh, yeah, that's not what you were talking about.
Well, no, I just wanted to stare at it while I listened to Summer of 69.
Or sure.
Okay. All right. Hold on. There were some other things I wanted to tell you about Cheetos.
Oh, please.
Let's talk about mascots.
Oh, I'm always ready to talk mascots.
Okay. The first Cheetos
the
mascot.
The East Dillon Lions. The Arnett Mead Tigers.
Wait. Before Dillon split off into East Dillon and something.
It was the Dillon Panthers.
The Dillon Panthers. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the East Dillon Lions?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That was a team that had... you know, Michael B. Jordan on it. Or was he first on the Panthers? I can't remember. I think he was just on the Lions.
Wait, is this Smash? No.
No. Smash was on the Panthers. Michael B. Jordan was Vince. So Vince was like the new guy.
Okay. Who was the actor who played Smash?
Oh, here we go.
Because I like that guy, too.
We're good. Yep.
Let's keep eating Cheetos and like
I'm getting
guys.
Is Smash Brothers Ultimate, which is what you want to do too. Matt Saracen and Joe Cage and Smash Brothers.
I want to smash him with my body.
Okay.
I want to smash him with my thighs.
Yeah, Smash Williams, Brian Smash Williams. Oh, Gaius Charles.
Pull him up now. Oh my God.
Yeah, what? There were a lot of beautiful people on that show.
Yeah.
Okay,
Cheetos. Sorry, Cheetos. I'm going to stop chewing.
Did we get to any mascots yet?
The first Cheetos mascot was the Cheetos Mouse, which used the slogans, the cheese that goes crunch and Hail Cheez-R.
I remember the cheese that goes crunch, but I don't remember Hail Cheez-R.
Well, Chester Cheetah. Hold on. So the Cheetos Mouse was phased out like when you and I were little.
I don't remember a Cheetos Mouse.
It was phased out like around 1979.
Oh, that's right. Around when you were phased in.
Uh-huh. The current mascot is a cartoon cheetah named Chester Cheetah. He first appeared in 1986. Again, there's a black hole in time where there was no Cheetos mascot.
Wow. I mean, to be fair, like, did the world make a lot of progress during those years? We were all just waiting patiently for...
Was that the Reagan administration?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we were...
You think Ronald Reagan was the interim Cheetos mascot?
Yeah. They were like, we don't need a mascot. We've got the president.
The great communicator.
Although people often refer to our current president looking like a Cheeto.
Yep.
I think he looks like a Cheetos puff, to be clear. Not so much a crunchy Cheeto.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, anyway, Chester Cheetah first appeared in 1986. Slogans have evolved over time. They started with, like, the cheese that goes crunch, which was also used by the Cheetos Mouth.
I've got Cheetos Mouth right now.
And then, it ain't easy being cheesy.
And I remember that very well.
And then they started with dangerously cheesy in 1997. Okay.
Okay.
Now, here's where things get interesting. Beginning in 2008, Cheetos advertising and promotion broadened with a focus on adults. Okay, quote, mm-hmm. In this personification, Chester speaks with a mid-Atlantic accent and encourages people to use their Cheetos in acts of revenge or to solve problems.
What does that mean?
Adult-oriented themes of subversion and revenge continue to be prevalent in Cheetos advertisements produced since 2008.
How do you use Cheetos to solve problems, first of all?
Well, I wonder if you could use them to, maybe if you saturate them, you could use them as like a scrubbing device on like a dirty pan.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think they just fall apart.
They did that thing where there's like a pop-up restaurant maybe in New York where like everything was made with Cheetos.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that constitutes solving a problem.
No.
So it sounds like the bad boy current personification of Chester Cheetah might approve of your stealing your classmates' Cheetos.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know, I haven't seen any of these recent Cheetos ads, but it sounds like he's sort of like a Charles Bronson death wish, like vigilante type, or maybe more of a jackass. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to get from this.
Oh, I think he's supposed to be sly and kind of suave.
Oh, okay. But how is that involved in revenge?
I'm not sure. Like, why is dangerously cheesy a good slogan?
Oh, I think that's a good slogan. Because, like, you want it to be very cheesy. It's like how Kraft macaroni is the cheesiest.
Velveeta shells and cheese.
Oh, is that the cheesiest?
It's the cheesiest. What rhymes with that? Skeeziest.
It's the skeeziest?
No, what is it? That's the cheesiest, the dream. It's the dreamiest.
Oh, wait, so am I?
Creamiest! It's the creamiest, the dreamiest, the dreamiest, the creamiest, Velveeta shells and cheese.
Wow, I'm all in a boggle now.
Let's play Boggle after this.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Have you played Boggle with friends? It's fun.
No, let's play Boggle with friends.
Oh, yeah.
You are going to beat me so hard.
Yes, but only because, like, I'm addicted to it and I play it too much.
I saw you playing it a bunch in Oklahoma City.
Yep. Okay, so I did not know that Chester Cheetah had gone to the dark side and was like, doing prank videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm troubled by this. I'm troubled by what it says about our society. But I'm still going to buy Cheetos because they're delicious.
Oh, man. These Flamin' Hot Cheetos, I feel like they're slowly anesthetizing my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I can't stop eating them. I really want like an ice cold Coke with crushed ice.
Oh yeah.
Right.
It's like they're setting a fire within me, starting a fire within me.
That only
setting a fire sounds like they've convened a committee of arsonists. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably the current Chester Cheetah does arson.
Probably.
That is actually the new slogan that they're rolling out this year is just Cheetos do arson.
Cheetos burn it all down.
Burn it all down. This episode was brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins.
Matthew, I had a Thomas's English Muffin for breakfast this morning. Can I tell you about it?
Okay.
So I just got these. It's like super fresh. I put it in my toaster. What's happening to
drooling.
You?
Drooling.
The middle of it got like really chewy and warm. The outside got crispy and crunchy, and I put salted butter on it, and the butter sunk into all the nooks and crannies like little tiny butter puddles.
Okay. I'm going to eat one.
Okay.
Thomas's, wake up to what's possible.
Well, we are not going to post any recipes from today's show.
Nope.
But you can find us always at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
But we're going to post a link to that Wired article. So if you happen to have a silo and an extruder.
And a pneumatic tube.
We didn't talk enough about the pneumatic tube. Like you love pneumatic tubes as much as I do, right?
Yes. Yeah. From being a kid and going through the bank drive-thru.
Oh, yeah. And the library.
No, my library never had those.
The central library had like the pneumatic tube system for pulling things from the stacks.
Why have people stopped using pneumatic tubes?
No one can say.
Wait, or have people stopped using pneumatic tubes? Obviously, Cheetos is still using them.
They have because of the internet and stuff.
Oh, so now we don't even need to send pieces of paper around anymore. We just send code.
Right, but you can't send corn. By the internet. So they probably do still use pneumatic tubes for that.
Unless you've got Wonka vision.
Yep, here we go. You know what? Molly was like, we need to watch Willy Wonka when we're in Oklahoma so that you'll get my weekly Willy Wonka references.
It's not.
I was like, yeah, we should. And then we ended up watching.
It's not television, it's Wonka vision.
Right, then we ended up watching two erotic thrillers instead, Fatal Attraction and Basic Instinct. Basic Instinct is a terrible, terrible movie.
Well, they're both terrible movies.
I mean, they're both
movies.
Terrible, but Basic Instinct is worse, I think.
Although, I think Basic Instinct is worse because it's just sort of garbagey.
Well, also because our hero rapes someone like 12 minutes into the movie, and then we're supposed to be like, oh, he's still the hero. He's just troubled.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah,
I think you blocked it out,
didn't you?
The Gene Triplehorn character.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was wrenching. I remember sitting next to you on the sofa going, I can't.
Yeah, it was terrible.
This is horrible.
So, okay, so that's what we don't recommend this week.
On the other hand, Wonka vision. Look it up, guys. Remember when he, when Mike TV sent himself whizzing through the air and shrunk himself?
Yes.
Okay, great. Anyway, you can also find us at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we would love to hear about...
What is your new slogan? Okay. Come up with a new Cheetos slogan, first of all. And who do you think is the most beautiful person on Friday Night Lights? Post a picture.
Oh, yeah. Zach Guilford, that's the name?
Mm-hmm.
I got to pull up that picture and look at it again. It made me feel things.
But, I mean, the crazy thing about the show is Michael B. Jordan was on the show, and we're also talking about other beautiful people.
I can't even picture Michael B. Jordan. He just fades into the distant pre-Taylor Kitsch.
Okay, well, by saying that, now you've guaranteed that people are just going to post 800 pictures of
Michael B. Jordan. Okay,
which
thanks,
is fine.
Everybody. Yeah, educate me, please.
And our producer is Abby Circatella. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Please leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. We have got a lot of arson to do.
In our mouths?
We've got a lot of mouth arson to do.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Boop-a-doop. Wait, boop-a-doop is something you say, right?
No, it's usually doop-de-doop.
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 Boop-boop-a-doop is something Betty Boop says?
Oh, I don't know. Of course, she puts them on the glass. I haven't thought of Betty Boop in a long time.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.